Thank you, Maggie. Question for us as we dive into Psalm 21 this morning. How's your singing? How is your singing? You weren't expecting that one, were you? Now, I feel like I should offer some reassurances that this isn't personal. This is not a comment on how we've sung this morning. It's not a comment on how our musicians have led us. It's no comment on the singing ability of anybody who may or may not have been standing close to me. Whether you feel like you sing like an angel or whether you sing like a cat in a washing machine. But it is just worth asking, how is your singing? Singing as Christians, it's not unique, but it's certainly distinctive. Singing as a Christian is not about your ability. It's less about ability. It's much more about your desire. It's less about expertise and it's about eagerness. It's not about how good you sing. It's about how good God is, how great God is. Through Psalm 21, it feels as though the Holy Spirit kind of grabs hold of us to get our attention, for us to see and experience how great and good God is in his strength. Psalm 21 is about singing of the Lord's strength. It's a song of the Lord's strength. Look how it starts, verse 1. The king rejoices in your strength, Lord. How great is his joy in the victories that you give. But this isn't just the king. I guess it was David at this point. You can see in the little note under Psalm 21, if you've got your Bibles open, that this was a psalm of David. This is not the king singing a solo. He's joined by all of God's people. In fact, we turn to the end of the psalm, to verse 13, where it says, be exalted in your strength, Lord. We as God's people will sing and praise your might. So with Psalm 21 open in front of me over the last few days, what is it that I've been praying the Holy Spirit would accomplish amongst us as we go from here this morning, as we go out into the days that are in front of us? Well, very simply, that we would leave here as a singing people, singing about the Lord's strength. You see, the singing about the Lord's strength in Psalm 21 is not simply a one-time event way back when David was king of Israel. No, it's an all-time, right-now thing, because Jesus is our king. See, what's described of the king in Psalm 21 is fully fleshed out in the person, the work of Jesus Christ. David's experience as king of Israel, if you like, was a glimpse, it was a preview, it was a trailer of what was to come. Psalm 21 is given to us now as God's people so that we might be a singing people and that we would specifically sing of the Lord's strength and not just when it feels easy to do that. And the psalm here teaches us that if we're to sing of the Lord's strength, we need to look in two directions. We need to look back at the victories the Lord has given us and we need to look forward to his final victory. So we sing the Lord's strength by looking back at the victories that he gives. Psalm 21 is the answer to the prayer of God's people in Psalm 20. They pray, give victory to the king. Psalm 21 begins with the king rejoicing in the victory God has given. How in verse 2 is described, the Lord has granted him his heart's desire and has not withheld the request of his lips. Quite clearly at this point in time, a war has been won, a battle has been fought. We're not given the details, are we, of when, where, against whom? What are the details we're given? That this was a big win, and it was God's win. That's what we need to know. This is God's victory. And notice how it centers on God's king. It centers on what happens to David. Just look at those kind of opening few verses. What does it mean for David? On verse 3. Rich blessings will come his way, given from God. There's a crown of pure gold for him. Verse 4 speaks of his life continuing, his legacy continuing. Verse 5, it's his reputation, isn't it? Glory, splendor, majesty. Verse 6 talks of unending blessings. It talks about the joy he has because of experiencing God's presence. Verse 7, he trusts in God's unfailing love, and it means he won't be shaken. What's good news for David, as God's anointed king, becomes good news for God's people. Because at this point in time, as God's people, they were a nation. So the good news that was true for God's king, if you like, funneled into their life as God's people. Their experience of life was closely tied to the experience of the king. Now, I don't know how many of you over the last few weeks and months have paid particular attention to Euro 2024 and to the Olympics. Maybe you have stayed away. Maybe you have been glued to your TV. But notice, I wonder if you notice how England fans, when England are playing and win a football match, speak. Or how we speak if, I don't know, if you're from Great Britain and Team GB wins a gold medal at the Olympics. How do we speak? We say, we won. We won a medal. Can I let you in on a secret? I haven't played an international football match in my life. I've never won an Olympic gold medal. I won something at university that was bronze. It's as close as I've come. And as much as it pains me to admit it, my international footballing career and my Olympic career hopes are starting to just fade. I reckon I've got a couple of years in which something could happen. We won, but I didn't win, but I did win. What happens in those contexts is kind of what's happening in the psalm with the king and God's people. What happens to the football team, what happens to the Olympics team is owned by those they represent. God's people are singing about God's strength and God's victory with God's king because it matters to them. And maybe as you heard Maggie reading those kind of the opening half of Psalm 21, you hear the descriptions and you go, well, that's a psalm. It's a song. Of course, there's a bit of poetic exaggeration. I mean, David, he talks about life forever, length of days forever and ever. He talks about unending blessings. I mean, David, your life ran out and you were buried in the ground. Is that just poetic exaggeration? Or is there something more going on? I reckon as David penned this psalm, he knew full well that the promises of God were tied around him and tied to him. Great promises of a future king, a descendant of David who would be the source of God's blessing to the world. One through whom a far greater victory would come, not over nations, but over sin, over the devil, over death itself. It's like in Psalm 21. There's threads of a rope. And those of you who are at Cornerstone Camp will kind of know where I'm going here. Because we did it with Joseph. Because you can do it in all of the Old Testament. And there's these threads. And you start pulling them and they start to form a rope. And if you were in camp, you know the golden rule is don't let go of the rope. You start pulling along this rope. You see these promises. We discover this rope leading us to God's greatest victory. Where God's strength is seen most clearly and fully. And it takes us to a bloodied cross and an empty tomb. At first glance, the cross looks like total failure, defeat. It looks like condemnation, not blessing. It looks like a crown of thorns, not a crown of gold. It looks like the end of days rather than the length of days. It looks like humiliation and not glory. It looks like Jesus trusting his Father and finding that this unfailing love failed him as he was shaken. And yet we're here because we know how the story goes. 3 days later, he's raised from the dead. God's unfailing love has not let go of him. Has not let go of Jesus. Here is God's strength. Here is God's victory. And Jesus, in that moment, receives every blessing. He's crowned as God's King of the universe. He's been raised to a life that never comes to an end. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And right now, he's experiencing joy of being in the presence of his Father. Just as what happened to David shaped what happened to God's people and flowed out and funneled out into it, so what happens to Jesus flows into the life of God's people, those who put their faith in him. Just think of baptism. You know, somebody goes into the water. It's a picture of dying with Jesus. I mean, that Jesus has taken our sin. He's taken our sinner's death that we deserve. His death is our death. And then what happens? They are raised up out of the water, just as Jesus was raised from the tomb, raised to new life, a life with every spiritual blessing. Now just look around the room. We look very ordinary. Turns out you this morning are sitting with royalty. You are sitting with brothers and sisters of the King of the universe, sons and daughters of the living God. And after we die, life. Life that goes on and never ends. So Revelation 22 verse 5 says, we co-reign with Christ forever in the joy of the Father's presence. Do you know what that means? That means for me this morning, and I hope it means for you this morning, that when we turn to verse 7 of Psalm 21, we can make that our own. For I trust in the Lord through the unfailing love of the Most High. I will not be shaken. As one person has put it really helpfully, the love that God shows to us in Jesus is a love with super glue. It won't let go of you. It won't let go of you. In a world that is shaking, we have reason to sing because we won't be shaken. This morning, will you join me in singing? We sing of the Lord's strength because we can look back at the victories that he gives. The bloodstained cross, the empty tomb, the big, big win. But don't miss the little wins. Because as we follow Jesus now, our Heavenly Father meets our every need. He answers our prayers. He uses his strength to direct our lives, to lead us through, to use the gifts he's given, to shape our characters. We sing of the Lord's strength, looking back at the victories that he gives. But also, oh, I've gone too far. Looking forward to his final victory. The victory God gives to David in Psalm 21, it's not a final victory, is it? There are going to be many more battles for God's people. Battles that lead us to Jesus and that final, final victory. The war is won. It's won at the cross, but it's not over. The battle's not finished. There's a cleanup operation. Not until Jesus returns will that victory be final. When all things will be made right, all things will be made new. But for that to happen, all that is not right now needs to be dealt with. For those who choose to oppose God's promises, his plans, his purposes, his people, they've got to face the reality of the choices that they make. Or come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. It's this final victory of Jesus' return that Psalm 21, the second half, looks forward to. Notice how this victory is certain. In verse 8, the Lord will take hold of his enemies. It'll be final. Verse 9, they're swallowed up. Fire will consume them. There's no place for evil in God's new world, verse 10. And I guess, my guess, is the moment we start talking like this, most of us just start to feel a little bit uncomfortable. If we're meant to be singing of the Lord's strength, this feels like it just makes us not want to sing. But if that is you, if that's us this morning, it is worth just flicking over several pages to another psalm, to Psalm 96, and listening to another song that's sung of God's strength and delighting in his final victory. It's on page 603. Psalm 96, verses 11 to 13. And who is it he's singing? Well, it's the world that God has created. It's the created world. It says, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound in all that's in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord. All of the created world is singing. Why? For God comes. He comes to judge the earth. And he will judge the world in righteousness and the people and the peoples in faithfulness. What is it that creation has grasped that we struggle to? I think it's that creation knows that God will judge justly, with righteousness and faithfully. God is not like me. Praise God that he's not like me, who gets grumpy, apparently, and becomes a bit unfair when hungry or tired. God's not like that. God judges justly. Psalm 21, verse 11 recognizes this. Those God judges, they plot evil against him. They devise wicked schemes. They cannot succeed. When Jesus returns to bring God's final victory, nobody will say, that's not fair. Nobody will say, ooh, that's a bit over the top. we will be singing and rejoicing in it, because it's God's patient and perfect justice. Looking forward to God's final victory means when struggles and sufferings come our way, we can keep on singing. They don't get the final say, you see. Jesus does. I love how in this book, Incomparable by Andrew Wilson, he puts it. He says, singing is even rarer in suffering. If you don't believe that suffering will eventually end, then you have nothing to sing about. If you do, however, then you can sing with true joy, just like Paul and Silas sang in that Philippian jail. Remember, it was the suffering slaves on the plantation singing about the joys of God and an eternity with him that laid the musical foundations for blues, for jazz, for gospel, and for almost all modern rock music. So again, my question from Psalm 21 to you this morning is, how is your singing? How is your singing? Are we singing of the Lord's strength? Are we looking back on the victories that he's given to us? Are we looking forward to his final victory? We sing of the Lord's strength in all circumstances. We sing because our attention has been completely captured by Jesus. So I'm going to ask our musicians to get themselves ready, because it feels like there's only one proper way to respond to this, isn't there? That we sing. But as we do so, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have so many great reasons to sing. And thank you that one of the biggest reasons for us to sing is because of your strength and your might. We pray this morning that you would be exalted in your strength, Lord. You would help us to sing and praise your might, that we would know the victories that you have given us, the big win in Jesus, and the little wins of day-to-day life. And would we know where it's leading? That final victory of Jesus. When all will be made right. And the wonder that we are able to stand and be part of that. All because of Jesus. And so we give you all the praise this morning.